And this is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. The Archbishop of San Antonio has incredible influence. Over 700,000 Catholics in the area look to him as a spiritual leader and as someone to help make sense of these changing times. Archbishop Garcia Siller is busy these days dealing with many developments like the Affordable Care Act and abortion laws and today's Supreme Court ruling on same-sex marriage. He's also busy trying to help the city's poor, promote the local Catholic school system, and all this is happening while the world is getting to know their new pontiff, Pope Francis, who has become an inspiration to both believers and non-believers. Archbishop Garcia Siller, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
We invite phone calls. You can call in at 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Emails also to thesource@tpr.org. So, Archbishop, I want to ask you about this event that y'all are having. It's going up until the 4th of July, Fourth Night for Freedom. Can you explain what it is and how this incorporates, the people of the parish and what are y'all working towards?
Yes, well, since last year we began in the few days prior to 4th of July, that is our great celebration of our independence, we began to raise the conscience of how important it is to engage in the public arena and to defend our religious freedom. Based on the Constitution of the U.S., the historical events of our foundation as a nation, and paying attention to the conscience of the people. In other words, that there is that sacred part of all of us in our inner being in which we make decisions and in which we honor who we are, our dignity as human persons, and where we honor God and we let God to be present through us, and how we need to prepare ourselves when we make decisions in our country about many different issues. But it was mainly to prepare ourselves to celebrate our independence, emphasizing the importance that we have in the United States of keeping freedom at the level of conscience.
So religious freedom being very critical to our overall freedoms, and you're celebrating that, and you're asking people to attend a special mass or what?
Well, we began a few days ago with a mass at the cathedral this last Sunday, and we're going to continue praying and inviting people to read, to reflect, to dialogue about the importance of that inner freedom that comes because we have the dignity that the Lord has given to us, being created to His image and likeness. And so it's a very crucial thing because it's at the foundation of many other decisions that are made constantly in many different ways in our society, and not only at the level of society, but individually. You know, we make decisions every day, how to live our dignity as people created by God and carry on His image and likeness. So it's very important, and that we need to be to critique well what we hear, you know, from news, what we hear from people, from opinions, and to be able to stay our grounds with values and principles. Sure. So that is mainly that week of religious freedom, because we'll have a great impact in our social outreach. In other words, we are concerned that society and government, they will not fight against us. But if we do not keep our religious freedom, not only Catholics, but any kind of religious organization, any believer as individual organization, the government will push us back to live privately our faith, to be confined to buildings, to a specific kind of perimeters and boundaries. And we need to live our faith publicly. In other words, in the case of Catholics, we want to live our Catholic faith influencing society. So we need to connect, and we need to work for the poor, to provide for adoptions, to provide health care through our Catholic institutions, education, universities. And if we are confined to live our faith only in our hearts or only in our buildings, that is not what we are called to be.
Sure. Well, we're listening to Archbishop Garcia Siller, a guest on The Source this afternoon. Mm-hmm. Archbishop, let me ask you, so we have issues like the Affordable Care Act, and mm-hmm. that's coming into conflict with some of the Catholic institutions that we have in town. And so how, and you see that as an encroachment on the religious freedom?
Well, yes, it does. And who knows what will be in the future. But we stand from the Catholic perspective that we need to continue being faithful to our principles. And in that case, particularly, is with the issue of abortion. Not only, but that is one very clear issue. You know, and we will not allow abortions to take place. And we don't need to wait for government to tell us what is to be a Catholic or how to be a Catholic. You know, we know what is to be a Catholic. We want to live our faith based on the scripture and the tradition of the church and in the applying the social principles of the social doctrine of the Catholic Church. And if we will be impeded of serving people in healthcare because of the pressure that we are placed on us by the government, it will be very difficult, but we will not negotiate that value.
So they're not requiring Catholic institutions to actually, you know, have these or perform these procedures, but they want it's about insurance and providing
right.
insurance.
Yes, and not only those who are working directly in, to say, in my office, but it will be the pressure on those people who are helping with their professions in healthcare, and according to their conscience, you know, if they have to violate their conscience to fulfill a law that is against it, we will not be able to comply.
We're going to talk more about these issues, also about the programs to promote local Catholic schools and take calls here on The Source. The number is 210-614-8980. We're talking with Archbishop Garcia Siller, and we will be right back. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio is Archbishop Garcia Siller. I've been saying Siller, but it's really Siller when you put the Spanish proper Spanish pronunciation on that. So we did get today a historic ruling from the Supreme Court dealing with same-gender marriage. And you issued a statement earlier today, Archbishop, and basically you're condemning the decision from the Supreme Court. Can you kind of explain how you reached that?
Well, it is really a tragic day for all of us, for the nation, and for marriage as an institution. The Catholic Church, we uphold not only in the past, not only right now, but in the future. We will uphold the sacredness of marriage, and marriage as a relationship between one man and a woman, open to life and for life, and so that is a very sad thing just happened in California and the Supreme Court. It's unfortunate that they made that. That decision.
So talk about how this would impact the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church can still have to say, you only want to perform opposite gender marriages, and then that would be fine. No one's going to order the Catholic Church to actually hold a same-sex marriage. You know, the marriage is, itself is really a civic institution, but then we have a religious wrapping that we put around it. You know, we don't go to church for a divorce, you know, and that happens. So why is same-sex marriage a tragic event any more so than, say, you know, a no-fault divorce?
Well, it's because in the scriptures and based on natural law and in development of the human being, the relationship of the complementary expression of a man, a male, and a female, and the openness to life as something natural, and to be open to the development of the human person is natural, and that's why natural law, and also is divine, because in our tradition, we understand that nature is creation is an expression of God, and that He is the Creator, and so life naturally will not come in a same-sex relationship, and that's why it's tragic not only for marriage as an institution, but for family, you know.
Well, let me. So I'm going to give you some respectful pushback on some of these points that you made. One of them is that it's not natural, and something that is not natural means it's not found in nature. But you can find same-sex coupling in the natural world, in nature. Some animals do that. If it's about coupling, it's about the you know, having babies. If someone who is not able, who has been found to be infertile, comes to the church to get married, are you going to refuse them because they're not capable of offspring?
Yeah, well, it depends on the motivation and the understanding of life. You know, I mean, if somebody cannot bring an offspring to the world, well, it's not the fault of the individual. If it's just that the person cannot. But from there, to go into the relationship and the way we see it as a sacred relationship, sacramental relationship of a man and a woman, to be modified, that's a different thing.
I mean, these are about customs and the traditions that we have.
And it's principles. I mean, in the Catholic Church.
Sure, yes.
It's principles. And it's not something that we can change, you see.
Or at least, yeah, or it's not something you would enjoy changing. Or
well, we don't, and we don't. It's not up to us to change marriage. It's not up to me to change marriage. It's a divine institution in the Catholic Church, based on natural law and sacramental life of the Church.
Okay, we're going to take calls. The number to call is 614-8980. Valerie wants to join the conversation. And Valerie, welcome to The Source.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment that the Christian church or religion has never had a monopoly on marriage. The marriage rights have been around in all different cultures way before the church was ever founded. And to say that the church has some sort of moral authority to define what marriage is wrong. And if they look in their Bible, they will notice that there have been different definitions of marriage for thousands of years. And secondly, if they're going to get all moral on us, then they need to work on getting the rapist priests out of their ranks.
Okay. All right. That's a different issue for a different day. And I think that... I know that. So let's talk about the first thing she brought up, and we'll move on. But so she's saying that you look at the Bible, that is, you know, it has multiple interpretations of marriage. There's polygamy in the Bible, and there's also the treatment of women as property in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. But we go there. Well, first of all, it's all since the book of Genesis, the creation of man and a woman. But it's the definition of the Lord. The Lord Jesus in the Gospels speaks very clearly about it. And also in the first community that of Christians that built up with St. Paul, we can see it very clearly in the New Testament that the marriage is between a man and a woman.
All right, and so Valerie also brought up this ongoing scandal that's happened over the years about the abuse of trust from adults in the ministry and with young boys. And so what is happening now? Are there any
developments? Well, that has been a sad part of our life as institution, you know, is in the Catholic Church. Not exclusively, has happened over the centuries and millenniums in many different ways. And it's really sad, and it's a sin, and it's wrong. But the wrong actions and sins doesn't allow us to continue sinning or to condone situations like now it's about marriage or other issues in our society. You know, we go by the principles laid out by not only the words of Jesus, but the actions of Jesus and the teaching of Jesus.
Now, Pope Francis, the new pontiff, he's amazing.
Yes, he is.
He's refused to go to a concert recently in his honor. He's telling other cardinals, don't act like princes, you know, adopt mm-hmm. humility, work for the sure. poor, remember that we're here for. So is he going to change the attitude and open up the books and do things about this scandal?
Well, what I would say is that we need to read the Francis as the new pontiff, our pope today, in the context of John Paul II and Benedict XVI. John Paul II brought about that energy, going everywhere, proclaiming the good news in so many places, in so many ways. He was a young pope when he began, and he was in office for many years. Then we come with Benedict XVI dealing with very difficult issues that the church was dealing with for a long time, and about doctrine, about clarity, about giving kind of direction in a very solid way.
He seemed like more of a technocrat,
and
yes, but very much into the minutia of the church.
Right, very wise, very learned. And then we have Francis that comes and kind of to put it into practice, the faith in a very easy way, simple ways, living a life of simplicity, and trying to get into key issues inside the church as the curia about witnessing outside the Vatican to witness the faith in a very human, very in many ways like the Lord Jesus in the Gospels in a very
but it's a great departure from what we've mm-hmm. seen before. Mm-hmm. Interesting, refreshing. Before we run out of time, I certainly want to get to talking about the Catholic schools. I know that y'all received a very generous donation from Harvey Najim, a local entrepreneur developing of computer systems, and gave you to promote local Catholic schools. What's going to happen with that?
Now we have developed a very good friendship with him. He donated lately $1 million. But he has given other donations in the past.
He's donated widely across San Antonio to great causes.
In many different ways. He has been, with his foundation, very generous. The Catholic schools, we are trying to cope with some difficulties regarding finances because it's very expensive. Private education of Catholic education or any nonprofit organization that would like to provide education with a particular values is complicated. But also the fact that now their families are smaller, they don't have too many children, and that Catholic schools, they are situated in areas of our city in helping to provide Catholic education for the poor. So in that sense, it's more challenging. So we are developing programs to fundraising through inside the Catholic Church or outside sources, but we are trying to get amounts of money to Catholic education in order to continue serving people, not only the rich, but also the poor, with the values of our Catholic faith. And we are doing, I think, a good job, you know, but it's very challenging.
So back to the original concept of when we brought you on, invited you on the program, talking about, you know, the values and the traditions of the Catholic Church, and the society seems to be moving in a different direction. Is there a conflict? Somebody's got to come to a new understanding. Can we just recognize that the people who decide that this, the Catholic Church, is their vessel, that this is, that they can do their thing and they can get along together, or is something going to have to give?
Well, we are always trying to promote the common good, but we can promote the common good without betraying our principles and our values and the gospel, because otherwise we don't have anything to offer. It's not that we want to promote more Catholics. It would be great if there are more Catholics regarding membership. But that is not the point. It's that the Catholic Church is in the service of common good to extend the kingdom.
All right, we're out of time. Archbishop Garcia Siller, thank you for joining us here on The Source.
My pleasure.
We're going to take a break, go to the news, and we'll be right back after that.
Thank you.